In the German feature film Hans Wessmar, one of many, the young protagonist, based on Wessel, peers from his fraternity window and declares to his privileged comrades, "The real battle is out there, not here with us. The enemy is on the march. I tell you all of Germany will be won down there, on the street. And that's where we must be, with our people. We can no longer live in our ivory towers. We must join our hands in battle with the workers. There can't be classes anymore. We are workers too, workers of the mind, and our place now is next to those who work with their hands." Even if the propagandized Wessel were a complete fabrication, though it was not, the mythologized version illustrates the more interesting and important truth. Germany was filled with millions of young men who were receptive to the shining ideal that Wessel represented. Of course, the virulent anti-Semitism of the Nazis makes it difficult to see and impossible to forgive, but the dream of a unified, classless Germany was deeply heartfelt by many Nazi joiners. And if reduced to that alone, it was not an evil dream at all. But just as the line between good totalitarianism and bad is easily crossed, dreams can quickly become nightmares. Indeed, some dreams, given their nature, must eventually become nightmares. And for the Horst Wessels or the American New Left, whatever admirable idealism they might have had quickly and unavoidably degenerated into fascist thuggery. The most famous of these figures was Tom Hayden, the son of middle-class parents in the Detroit suburb of Oak Park, near Father Coughlin's parish, and the chief author of the Port Huron Statement. Hayden played an admirable role in the early civil rights struggle in the South. He certainly believed himself to be a young Democrat, but the seeds of a totalitarian bent were evident from his earliest days at the University of Michigan. In a speech delivered to the Michigan Union in 1962, which became a manifesto titled Student Social Action, Hayden proclaimed that the youth must wrest control of society from their elders. To this end, the universities had become incubators of revolutionary social action. Richard Flax, a young academic who would join Hayden in the new crusade along with his wife Mickey, was thunderstruck. He went home and told his wife, an activist in a group called Women Strike for Peace, "Mickey, I've just seen the next Lenin." By the end of the decade, Hayden had indeed become a forthright advocate of Leninist violence and mayhem, glorifying crime as political rebellion and openly supporting Mao, Ho Chi Minh, and of course the murderous Black Panthers. He helped write the Berkeley Liberation Program. Among the highlights, destroy the university unless it serves the people. All oppressed people in jail are political prisoners and must be set free. Create a soulful socialism. Students must destroy the senile dictatorship of adult teachers. His community outreach in the slums of Newark preceded and in part fomented the horrific race riots there.